My name is David Bruce. I received a phone call from Terry, and he said, would you please come and share your story of moving to a new building? I live in Enterprise, Oregon, a town in the extreme northeast corner of Oregon. I was called to be a pastor, teacher of Enterprise Christian Church in March of 2002. Church attendance was good, and we were often pushing that 80% capacity in our sanctuary for both the 8:15 and 11 o'clock services. Within a couple of months, one of my leaders excitedly told me, did you know that in a few months we're going to build a new building? We were given a house at the head of Wallowa Lake, and we sold it, so we already have a good building fund. That was the first that I had heard about it. And I replied, can we wait? I just moved here, and building projects kill ministries. Almost immediately, we went through three different church splits in 2 years. One split over music, another split over leadership. One of the associates wanted to be the pulpit minister, but I was selected, and so he took a portion of the congregation and started up his own church in town. And the third split was over who we were. I kept talking about Christian church principles, and a number of people simply left. Now, neither of our two services were pushing the walls out, and so talk of building a new building were tabled for a while. But we continued to grow. Nothing dramatic. I'm not one that will come up here and say I had 100 baptisms in the first 6 months. But it was slow growth. And someone said, Dave, we need to look at a new building. And I said, let's pray about it and see where the Lord leads us. And a month later, we received some interesting news. A non-believer from our town was willing to donate 22 and a half acres of ground at the edge of town so that we could build a new building. The donor said he liked what he was hearing about our congregation. What? I said, well, why don't we make a study to see if that's really what we want to do? After all, building programs kill ministries. So we set up a committee to study the dynamics of our old building, and I made sure to invite the most vocal opponents to dream of the building, a building. You don't want me, said Dorothy. You're exactly who I want on this committee. I replied, if we need the building, we have to convince people like you that we need it. Our old building was built in 1986. 1896. Where? Does it work? There we go. The committee did its work and found out that we were limiting in our growth from our sanctuary. Sanctuary was simply inadequate for a lot of our activities. Our foyer was not adequate. Our bathrooms were hard to find, and we didn't have enough porcelain in them. Our nursery made young people cringe, and it was hard to find. We didn't have enough rooms. The high school class met in my office. The junior high class met in youth minister's office. There was a class that met in the hallway in front of the emergency fire exit. There was no dedicated youth room. Our fellowship hall was inadequate. We had a fellowship of 175 folks. We could put tables up for 60. And that was downstairs, which prevented a number of our folks from attending any events. We had absolutely no off-street parking. When we had VBS, we were cramped. But if we sat kids on the curb, it was okay. And we had room for larger meals only when we met outside. We began to talk about how we could overcome some of the problems without putting up a new building. So we found out something immediately. If we did anything to our building, we would need to bring it up to current codes. We would be required to provide off-street parking according to our square footage. The estimate was $700,000 to bring our old building up to current code, and we would have to purchase two nearby homes in order to level them so that we could have parking lots. We put all plans on hold. Yet we received feedback from our visitors, now I know to call them guests, that our building was a negative, and we decided that we would enter into another season of prayer to ask for God's leading. A couple of months later, I received a phone call from a Christian church pastor whose church was 5 miles away from ours. It had been started up by a grump group of folks that had left Enterprise Christian Church many years before. The pastor was a good guy, but he was never interested in talking with me. There was no fellowship between the two churches. But Tim called me up one day and he asked to meet with me. Can we meet over coffee? And I said, sure, come on in. And he came into my office and immediately said, we are going to close down our church and we have voted to come into yours. Would you accept us into your fellowship? What? That doesn't happen. But we welcomed them. We had a reconciliation worship service that was the talk about town. Churches that had splits were reuniting. Unheard of. I asked Tim what he was going to do, and he said that he was going to make a living working in a small construction business. So I asked my elders, can we hire this guy? We're not hiring anybody. No, but he'd be perfect for seniors ministry and visitation. He worked 3 days a week. We can afford that. He's bringing his congregation. They've supported him. They're bringing funds. They are paying for me to have another staff person. I asked him, and he said, that's not what I wanted. And I said, I know, but I don't want to lose the experience of one who's lived in this county for 18 years. We put him in an old closet for an office. A few weeks later, Tim shared, so what are you going to do with the building? And I began to explain to him that we were in the studying stage of what we were going to do with our building. He said, no, our building, it's yours now. We want you to have it for the new building project. Long story short, we sold their building. And I asked Tim, in the 18 years that you have been a minister of that church, did they ever provide for your future retirement? And he said, no, not at all. So we made sure that a significant portion of the sale of that building was dedicated to the man who ministered there for 18 years. And some of our folks said, do you know what you're doing? And we said, yeah, we're doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing, God honors. The rest of it was put into our building fund, which was now significant. We kept looking at our building and we did a less than thorough study of our target group. In Wallowa County, there are 7,000 people. There are 18,000 deer and elk. We are one of the oldest populations in the state. We are a county that people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s move to after they have known success in Seattle, Portland, and California and want to get away from the madness. They have their money and they can afford to move to our county. It would be great to say that we have a massive group of millennials to try to reach, but the reality is that in the 18 to 40 group is dwindling rapidly from our population. Although the overpopulation has remained the same, or actually maybe increased a touch, the numbers in our school population are shrinking fast. It is half of what it was 15 years ago. Those in that age group are largely kids of families who have inherited their parents' farms or businesses. We grow kids so that they can move out of the county. We want to have a solid ministry for kids and for young adults, but most of our growth comes from folks that are moving into the county and find us a welcoming and vital fellowship. Thus, a priority for us was to have a building that was one level, no steps. There's a problem. There was no property in the city limits of Enterprise that would be big enough for us to build a new one-level church building that we dreamed of. Seemed to be a game stopper. I said, let's pray. Someone donated 5 acres of land a half mile outside of city limits with a highway entrance and a beautiful view. The state of Oregon did not allow churches to build within 3 miles of the city limits in an area like ours. That's a problem. We decided that we would put in an application for a variance anyway. We filled out all the technical details of the form. We turned it in and we prayed. And literally 2 days later, we opened up a newspaper and some church in Josephine County had taken the state to court over the specific ruling that would prevent churches from building within that 3 mile limit. And the state of Oregon ruled in the church's favor. 3 days before our form went before the county commissioners, they took a look at it and said, sounds good to us, and stamped it. And we were told, you better prove on that ground before Oregon changes the law and prevents it again. We proved on the ground by putting electricity to it. We dug a well. We paved the entrance. And we said, we probably should put some plans on paper, but can we wait for God's timing? After all, I'm coming close to retirement, and building projects kill ministries. We began to study, and we would have to do all the things, and I offered to submit my resignation to the church. I did. I told my leaders, I can preach and I can pastor, but I don't know anything about building a building. And so God sent Michael and Adrian. Michael stepped forward and said, I'll oversee the day-to-day dynamics of the building project if you will concentrate on being our pastor. Adrian stepped up and he said, I will oversee all of the financial details of the project if you'll concentrate on being my pastor. I could do that. I had no more delays that I could play. We had to make a decision. And so we put the project before the congregation. It was the moment of truth. And the congregation voted yes. Apparently, God's timing was now. We spent months looking at church buildings, new construction, old construction. We talked with people about what they liked in their buildings, what they would change in their buildings. We asked our congregation to give us their input and priorities concerning a proposal for a building. We had a few people come to talk about classrooms. We had a few people come to talk about the fellowship hall. We had a few people come to talk about the sanctuary. We had a few young couples come to talk to us about nursery. We had a good number of ladies come to talk to us about the kitchen. And our biggest area was when we talked about church storage needs. We drew up some plans. We prayed about those plans and what would work for ECC. And then I visited the church that my daughter was attending while she was in college, and it struck me, this is exactly what we need. I urged our visioning committee to drive up to see it. From the moment we saw it, we knew that it was for us, with some modifications, of course. It was a steel structure with wood additions attached on front and back. We quickly took what we had established as our needs and superimposed them on the footprint of what we saw, and voila, we had a plan. It was almost as if someone else was putting the project before us. We leveled ground, we poured concrete, we erected the steel supports and put a roof on. We put up a sign that said, Future Home of ECC. Can you remember what happened in the area of finances a few years ago? Our project was put on hold because of the economy. So there it was, Future Home of ECC. And there were steel structures with a roof, and everybody drove by and said, that is the largest hay shed I have ever seen. We wanted to try to build up the excitement of the building, so we had a slab event. You used to have cornerstone dedications, but when you have no cornerstone and you only have a concrete slab, you have a slab event. So we gathered together. Don't do that one. Let's go back to that one. We gathered together in our hay shed with one wall, and we had a worship service. We sang. And I tell you, in that particular building, we sang the doxology, and everybody that was there. Let me pause here. I want to add one thing on in. We had 63 people come to our worship up in the wheat field. We read the initial diary report of the organization of that church. It had been signed by 63 people. We sang the doxology, and it echoed like it was a cathedral. And everybody went, wow, can we do that again? And we sang the doxology again, and somebody said, I want to get it on video. So we sang it a third time. And somebody said, I didn't get that on video. Can we do it again? And we sang it a fourth time. And people were driving by saying, what are those people doing up in the hay shed singing? And we read scripture. And we prayed. We had outlined that slab, and we had all the rooms out so that people could stand in where those rooms were going to be, and we prayed. And then we took time to go ahead, and we gave everybody markers, and they wrote their names, and they put down the names of people that they wanted us to pray for, and we wrote down scriptures, and we wrote down the initial founding fathers' desire for the church from 125 years ago. and said, we are continuing in this generation of faithfulness. And then the work began in earnest, and we found ways for the congregation to be a part of the building project. We found out how to do our heating cooling system. We have 6.5 miles of tubing buried underneath our parking lot. What does that do? It collects up passive heat. It was a little bit more expensive, but in a matter of 13 years, it will all be paid for by itself, and we basically have really cheap heat and air conditioning from the same thing. By the way, we went with a solar panel farm. We have the largest solar panel farm on top in the county, on top of our building. In 7.5 years, the people that put all that together will give it to the church. In 13 years, the congregation that is there will have no electric cost for their heat and for their cooling. And in Wallowa County, that's huge. We're trying to think ahead. We found out that so many of the workers were spending so much time just cleaning up after themselves and sweeping and doing all those types of things. We had sweep days. We had sweep crews. Come on over. Let's sweep the new building. Everybody can do it. We had people gather together of all ages, and we swept. And on those days before the roof was put on to the wood additions, we took in snow shovels. And we shoveled out the church because it had been snowed in. We met a couple of days and had potluck meals for the workers. We had workers that were interested in our church simply because we fed them cookies and we fed them brownies and we fed them snacks and we had potlucks for them. And we went on in and said, we are so happy for what you're doing. We're trying to encourage you. On the day that we had dedication, we had 3 construction workers from Baker City, Oregon, drive over just to be a part of it and said, we've never been a part of something like this. We learned how to put down our own carpet. By the way, we can still do it. The decorating committee of all things said that they wanted a rustic look in the building, and so we had boards from an old barn donated to us. All you have to do is remove the barns and clean them up by yourself. Matt and I were a part of the board crew. I keep doing that. This is, we learned how to make acoustic treatments. When you are in the middle of a steel building, it echoes a lot. We had somebody that, we actually fired a $75,000 group that was going to specialize in helping us to tune our room. We had volunteers from the community say, could we help you? I used to do this for the Seattle Symphony. And he taught us how to build acoustics so that we could go ahead and, quote, tune the room. And after a while, the building began to take shape. When the building was nearing completion, we held a Bible reading marathon. In shifts, we read through the entire New Testament. Matt, my associate, wanted to read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd as he stood in what would be the bathrooms. Get it? 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Okay. We wanted to be able to bridge the emotions of an old building and new building, so we decided to decorate it in such a way that people would see our heritage in the new building. We took our bell. Yes, we took our bell. We took our baptistry. We have a wall in the new one, and where it's a blank wall where that baptistry is, and we're keeping all the names, and we're going to be writing all the names of everybody that goes through that baptistry so that they can look at the history of who has been a part of that. Put it in the back of my truck and left. We took our piano. It's always good to have a piano crew. Did I say piano? No, pianos. You always have one given to you that you don't know what to do with. We learned how to go ahead and put down sod. It was amazing the people that came on in and said, let me be a part of the grass crew. We took our stained glass windows and the painting that was behind the baptistry. We took our cross and we put it up in our new sanctuary. We even took four of our old pews. They now line the very back of our sanctuary. As the builders were building the building, God was building his church. Our capital funds campaign had twice the pledge amount that our expert said we should expect. And over 3 years, we oversubscribed our pledges by over $300,000. We were told that we would be stuck with our old building for years to come. A young pastor of the Assembly of God walked into my office one day and said, "I know this is going to sound funny, but I was walking by and God told me to ask, how much are you going to want for this building?" I told him what our price was going to be, and then I added, "What can you afford?" After all, we preferred the building to remain a part of the kingdom work instead of becoming a new restaurant or an antique shop. He gave us a figure that was significantly less than what we were going to ask for, and we promptly said, "Sold." After all, when God brings you a buyer, you don't haggle over price. It was such a blessing to us. It's a blessing to another fellowship. And we think that God is pleased with what's going on in both churches as part of kingdom work in the county. And in August of 2016, we were ready for our first worship service in the new building. We had a great entry. We had a good welcoming center. Notice the boards. We had a wonderful nursery. We had good classrooms. We had a fellowship hall. We can do that. We have a good kitchen. We have a nice meeting room. And all of that meant absolutely nothing until people came to fill the entry. People came to worship. They loved to be a part of something that God was doing within the county. Yep, got to go back one. This was our vacation Bible school. Something else happened. That room was tuned so well that we are now the concert center for the Wallowa Valley Orchestra and the Eastern Oregon, Northeast Oregon Orchestra. This was a particularly good one. We had specialists come in. We had members of the Seattle Symphony come on in. And my favorite part of that was they played music at one point in time, and we had our video camera over the shoulder of an artist, and he was drawing pictures as the music was being played. And it was all because we had all the video equipment and we had the center there. And they said, "Can we please come back? We need some people from Los Angeles to come up and play in this room." We said, "Sure." We also are the area in which the local bell choirs and concerts are done in our place. This is a particular room that I like. Have you ever sent moms out of a room or seen people go out of the room and you put up an audio speaker and that's it? We have a special room in which if you are nursing your child or if it's a cry room, you sit, you control, and you look through the one-way mirror, the one-way glass, and you are still a part of the congregation as you are a part of our worship. It is particularly enjoyed. We had a fellowship hall for the first time. I was almost moved to tears the very first time we had over 200 people sitting in our fellowship hall to eat together. We had never done that in over 118 years. And we have good room for Vacation Bible School games. And we have a wonderful view. Generations of faithfulness. Before I end, I want my associate to come on up and briefly share how a building has changed his ministry. This is Matt Holmes.
Hi. I came on towards the end of this process. In fact, my predecessor left during the building project, and I was considering the ministry, and Dave and I met, and I said, I don't know that I'm cut out for this, but I know I can be there for a year till you finish the building, and if I'm not cut out for it, you can find someone else. So I'm now 3 years into a one-year commitment, and it's been fantastic. The thing about the new building, it's not a magic bullet. It doesn't do ministry for you. It didn't fix ministry, or but it does provide opportunities. The thing that I most enjoy that we were able to do because we had all this space is we were able to have a rally for See You at the Pole, which is an event that students do every year where they pray around their flagpoles, and hadn't been done very much in our county. And so we had the space where we could set up and have a rally for all the youth groups in the area, and they could all meet in one place, and we could set up a bunch of games in the fellowship hall, and we could have them all join for worship in the sanctuary and plan out what they were going to do at their schools. And it was the kind of thing that we could not have done in our old building. It just would not have worked. But we had an opportunity to be able to do something like that, to bring people together. The other important thing that I've noticed that has been so good about this building is it has enhanced our ministry because it's given us opportunities to connect with people in the county. In our county, like you said, we quickly became one of the best venues in the county to do various different things, like have concerts. We also have a homeschool group that uses our classrooms during the school year. And the first time they had a meeting in there, they had a meeting on a Sunday night, which is when we do youth group, and one of their kids wandered over and just kind of melded into our youth group and became a part of it. And he brought the entire junior high school level group from their homeschool group into our youth group. And so now we have a big portion of kids from there that have become part of our group. And the door was opened because the doors of our building were open to people in the community. So it didn't do the work for us, but because we've held this building with an open hand, and I've been so impressed with our congregation and how they have held it with an open hand as a way to serve the community, it's given us opportunities to connect with people, and it's given us opportunities to grow. And the people who before might have been skeptical that we built this building for ourselves realize we built it for the community, and they're able to come in and be connected with us and see our heart for Christ and our heart for our neighbors. And that's just been an incredible experience to be a part of. And so the building is not the magic bullet, but it is a tool. It creates opportunities to do ministry and to show people who we are.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just end with a couple minutes, and that is when I went to Enterprise, I was taken in by the beauty that surrounds us. I love those mountains. And my prayer to God was, God, you can make these mountains to praise you. My dream is to make it where the valley is known for honoring God. And as we look at his creation, I want people to represent the true honor of God in the county. What does this do for the ministry of Enterprise Christian Church? It allows us a great access for the elderly and the handicapped. There has been many, many comments. It gives us a great Sunday school place. Young couples love the nursery. It's allowed us to return to one service. That's either good or bad. It's allowed us to have some great meal times. It's a great place for VBS. The homeschool cooperative meets with us once a week. It has allowed us to build new bridges in the community. We are the home of the orchestra, the chorale. We are the meeting place for combined church events. We host the Wallowa Valley Pickleball Association in our... And of the Pickleball Association, there are two believers, but there are 8 to 10 people that come in on a weekly basis, and they begin to ask questions. We are the regular meeting place for community first aid and CPR classes. We are a community food bank center. Our entry itself is reserved for many different group parties. We hosted a Christian hunting fellowship, and they had over 400 people come to watch their videos on that night. We are becoming known as the church that actually uses its building for the community. While we were building it, it was, look at them. How could they spend that much money on themselves? And it's turning into, thanks so much for allowing the community to benefit from your building. I want to put an aside here, because God's the one who's been building his church. The biggest building project that's gone on, you can't see. It's within the hearts of the people. All the while that we did this, we oversubscribed our missions and outreach by an average of $25,000 per year over our budget. When people see that God is at work, and when people see that their investment counts, people are willing to give. When Terry asked me about our building project, I immediately thought, I don't have much to share. I called this a reluctant leader of God's building project. I have a man in my congregation who continually tells me he lives by this statement: shut up, show up, suit up, and be ready to take the next indicated step. It's not a bad philosophy. Be ready to be challenged, not by a burning bush, not led by a pillar of fire, but be ready to take steps of faith when you say, I'm not up for this, but God is directing me to do it anyway. And it will always be a result of prayer, prayer, prayer. Be ready to go against conventional thinking. God does some of his best work with those who are willing to think outside of the box. So what do I have to share? We've simply tried to let God lead us. After all, it's his church. We've tried to be faithful at following when God showed us his leading. And I find that God is not impressed with faith in our minds as much as he is with faith which puts us to move into action. We have become a stronger fellowship through the process, largely because we've not built a building for us, but we want it to be used by the community, and we also want to be ready so that 20 years from now, the church that is meeting there while we are gone, or at least much older, will be able to say, we have a tool. We believe that God has done something in us and through us, and it will become a tool for the next 100 years. We're just a chapter in the generations of faithfulness that began 125 years ago when 63 people prayed. I want God to be a part of Wallowa County. Other questions? The first one, I didn't put that. The government would not allow us to build on the first 22 and a half acres of land because it was too close to the airport. And so we offered to give it. It was a non-believer who gave us the acreage, and we said, we cannot use it for building a building. We would like to return it to you. And he said, why don't you sell it and use all that money for the new building wherever it goes? The three largest gifts, we started with over $1 million in our building fund. Two of them were gifts from non-believers, and the other was from a split-off church that rejoined us. We interpreted that as God really wants us to be doing this.